Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 310. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Tex-Mex, the Riverwalk, and the Alamo as we go to San Antonio, Texas. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into this week's interview, I do have one news story for you. Christchurch, New Zealand has had a rough year, and it looked for a moment like they might be having some new and unusual problems as the pilot of a passenger jet, thought to be an Air New Zealand flight, on his descent into Christchurch, reported seeing a flying shark at several thousand feet. Now, it turns out, sharks have not, in fact, learned to fly in New Zealand. It was instead a helium-filled, radio-controlled craft meant to be operated inside. For a link to that story, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Carlos Gutierrez, who's coming to us from San Antonio, Texas, his hometown. Carlos, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
And I should say you've come to talk to us about your hometown of San Antonio.
Yes, I have.
Why should someone go to San Antonio, Texas?
I think people should come to San Antonio because it's a very historic city. It's important in American and more so Texan history. And it has a great walkable downtown area. And it's also home to several of Texas's most popular attractions, including the San Antonio Riverwalk, the Alamo, San Antonio Missions National Historical Park, and a few more. And it's also very rich in the Hispanic, Mexican-American, and Tex-Mex cultures.
Okay, now let's tackle those slower in a little more detail. So you mentioned the history, and probably the best known thing about San Antonio is the Alamo.
Yes, that's correct.
A battle that Texans did not win, but still commemorate.
Yeah, I think just about any fiesta party type thing in San Antonio commemorate something about the Alamo. You're right, it was lost by the Texians, as they were known at that time.
Oh, that's right. I'd forgotten they weren't Texans yet, they were Texians.
Actually, most of them even weren't from Texas. They were just visiting. But anyhow, yeah, they lost, but they went down in history books, and I guess the rest is history, as they say.
And one of the things that I get from people who go to the Alamo is, now, of course, not all of the original Alamo and all its outbuildings are still there. The mission is still there. And a lot of people go there and they say, gee, it was a lot smaller than I expected.
Yeah, I've heard that. I used to work downtown in the major tourist districts, and I've heard people say they're coming down on the highway, oh, where's the Alamo? Oh, I thought I would see it from, you know, somewhere else. And no, it's small. It was a chapel, a mission. It's a small brick building, maybe, you know, 20 feet high at the most. It's not big in scale, but it is big in history. So I guess that's the real draw to it.
And not hard to get to from downtown.
Not at all. It's right downtown. It's within walking distance of just about every downtown hotel. So, yeah, it's no problem at all to visit if you are staying downtown.
And I guess the one thing I'd have to ask, since you're the local, the insider here, is there any local knowledge about the Alamo in terms of how to visit it or that we should know if we go there?
No, I've visited a few times, and one of the sadder things that I've heard people say is when they're from San Antonio is that they've never been to the Alamo, but I've been to it a few times. And it's a nice place, you know, there's a museum in there, and of course, and there's artifacts. So really, no, it's a straightforward, you go in, I believe it's still free. When I went, it was free. So okay. I think it's still free because it's run as a nonprofit, I believe. But yeah, so it's free. You go in, you walk around. And it's actually pretty nice. The exhibits are nice. And when you're reading what they have in there, it's really interesting.
Okay. And you mentioned history. Are there other historic spots we ought to hit as we're in San Antonio?
You're going to want to hit just maybe about a mile west of the Alamo. No, actually not even there. Maybe about half a mile is San Fernando Cathedral. It's the oldest continuously used church in Texas. It's built in the late 1700s. And it was actually used as a base for the Spanish forces during the Battle of the Alamo. So you might want to go see that. And that's right across from also another fairly historical building, which is the Bexar County Courthouse. It's a beautiful red sandstone building that you might not want to go in because you have to go through the security. But if you also, you can go see it, go see the outside. But in addition to that, there's also the San Antonio Missions Historical National Park, which is the other big thing to actually see in San Antonio.
And that doesn't include the Alamo?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
There are 5 missions in San Antonio. 4 of those are included in the San Antonio Missions Historical National Park. However, the Alamo is actually run by the state of Texas and an organization called the Daughters of the Republic of Texas or something like that.
Interesting.
And so, no, they're not included, but they are part of the original missions.
I guess it would be hard to get Texans to give up the Alamo once they've reclaimed it here. So,
yes, I think so.
And we talk about San Antonio being part of Texas. And you mentioned Texas history and U.S. history, which, of course, are intertwined. But how would I know I was really in Texas in San Antonio? What is the Texas aspect of San Antonio?
I think when people think of Texas, they think of Dallas or Houston. Mm-hmm. That's fairly accurate, I guess. But, I mean, San Antonio is a little bit different than those cities. Of course, we're not as big as Dallas or Houston or their metro areas. But I think friendliness is actually the biggest thing because San Antonio is a very friendly community. Having worked closely with the tourist industry in the past, I always hear, you guys are so friendly. You know, I've been to other cities in Texas and it's not the same. So I think that goes hand in hand with Texas because if I'm not mistaken, Texas is actually an Indian word from Tejas, which means friendship or friendly, something like that. And so I think that really comes across in San Antonio.
Okay. And then you started to mention other things that we should see in San Antonio. You mentioned the downtown. The Riverwalk, of course, is probably the best known site downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you, well, first of all, we should explain what that is, but also anything else you would recommend we see down there?
Definitely, I would see the Market Square. Market Square is kind of an old style, Mexican style square. There's restaurants, there's shops. The shops, they're a little touristy, you know, they sell knickknacks and souvenirs, but I mean, it's still nice to go to. It's very colorful. And there's a few restaurants there. The main ones are Mi Tierra Mexican Restaurant, which is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And I think you'd be remiss if we didn't eat there. The food is decent. It's all right. But I think it's just the ambiance there that's the real kicker. And then you'd miss out a lot if you didn't go. And the other restaurant, it's actually owned by the same company as Mi Tierra. It's called La Margarita. And it's also Tex-Mex food. It's a little bit different, different ambiance. It's very loud. You smell the fajitas when they're coming out. And it's a little bit different, but I think they're both pretty decent restaurants that you should go visit there.
Well, I know there are some places in the U.S., especially where people have the impression that fajitas is a Mexican dish. But as you're pointing out, that's really Tex-Mex.
Yes, fajitas are, as far as I know, and I've heard from a lot of people, they are a Tex-Mex dish, as are enchiladas with that real thick gravy on it, I guess, if you want to call it, with all the yellow cheese and stuff. They're good in their own right, and I like them. I love Tex-Mex food. Every time I come back from out of town, I can't wait to get Tex-Mex food. But yes, it's very different from traditional Mexican food.
Okay. And then the restaurant names you said there, and let me make sure that I got them. One is La Margarita, which is easy, and the other one is La Tierra, like the earth.
Mi Tierra. Mi Tierra. Yeah, it actually translates to my homeland.
My homeland. Okay, my land. Okay.
Yeah, my land. So it's Mi Tierra. I'm not quite sure the exact name. It's Mi Tierra Mexican Cafe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And La Margarita Oyster Bar and Mexican food or something to that effect. Can't remember from the top of my head, but something like that. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Is there a particular day of the year that San Antonio is at its best?
Yeah, I think there's a big 10 or 11 day citywide party that goes on in the third and fourth week of August called Fiesta San Antonio. And I think that would then itself would be a great time to visit San Antonio. But the one specific day that comes to mind is that there's 3 parades during that time. There's a river parade, a day parade and a night parade. And the night parade, it's a large night parade. It's the most visited one, or the one with the most spectators. I think last year they had about 600,000 spectators along the route. It's about 2.5 miles in length, and it's a night parade. It's illuminated. The bands are going. They have those phosphorescent lights.
Light sticks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have them pinned onto their suits. The floats are covered in lights. I think that's probably the best day, if I were to visit San Antonio, that I would actually come. Because in addition to the parade, it's a citywide event. There's events going on continuously for the 10 days, day and night. And you could visit the carnival. You could visit one of the other events and then make your way to the parade. It's a long parade route. You'll find somewhere to watch it. And you just enjoy the parade. It's, you know, it's a few hours long. And then after that, you can go top it off down at the Market Square where they have music, food booths and stuff till all hours of the morning, probably about till 1 or 2 in the morning.
Now, I'm going to guess that August in Texas, in San Antonio, is a little bit on the warm side.
Yeah, actually, if I were to avoid coming to San Antonio or southern Texas, south Texas, it'd be during June, July, August, because starting in May, it starts getting pretty warm. It stays warm all the way until October. So August is really the top of the heat wave, so to speak. And if you're not used to temperatures in the upper 90s and lower to mid hundreds, then I'd really avoid that time.
And what I don't know is, I know Houston, for instance, is very humid. Galveston is also. So I'm assuming San Antonio is, but I don't know that for sure.
We are relatively humid. We're about 100 miles further inland than Houston. And we're not in that bog type, I guess, geography. But yeah, we can get very humid. You know, it's not unusual to see humidity in the 90% to 95%. And it can get to you. But we definitely are not as humid as Houston or Galveston, but we are very humid.
Okay. So you have someone come to visit you to see San Antonio. Where else do you take them?
Well, in addition to taking them downtown, there's a street called Broadway that goes through downtown and goes a little bit north-northeast. And along that street, you'll find, you know, a few different museums. You'll find the Pearl Brewery, which is not a brewery any longer. It's kind of a mixed development. So there's lofts, there's restaurants, you know, there's other things. Mm-hmm. That's up off of Broadway. There's, of course, Brackenridge Park, which is the largest park in San Antonio, 200 and something acres. There's the San Antonio Zoo, which is right next to the park. It's a decent zoo. It's a pretty big zoo. It's nice. I've been there a couple of times. And there's also the San Antonio Botanical Gardens, which is a little bit further up. And that whole street, you know, it has a lot of stuff. There's, in addition to the park, the museums, there's also a bunch of boutique shops. There's antique bookstores, there's used bookstores, CD shops, record shops. So just if you want to go shopping, you want to just go eat, spend some time at a museum, just going up that street throughout the whole day, that'd be a nice day out.
Okay. The Riverwalk. Probably one of the most, I'd say almost most copied elements of San Antonio, in the sense that 2.5 mile area of river and redevelopment there, I think, is a real center point for redevelopment in San Antonio. What's going to surprise me about it, though?
I think unless you've been there, you really can't tell the amount of people that are actually down on the Riverwalk. Even on weekdays, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's a lot of people. Unless it's cold out, there's going to be a lot of people out there. And it's just the ambience. You get all the people walking down the Riverwalk. You get the smells of the restaurants on the Riverwalk, people dining on the edge of the river, the amount of people, and just the real sense of mutual enjoyment of the Riverwalk. It's just something that might surprise people who've never been there before.
Okay. And when you say, unless it's cold, what's a Texas definition of cold?
I know people are going to laugh, but you know, once it starts getting down to the 30s, which isn't very cold to begin with, and people tend to stay indoors, especially if it's raining, because it rarely snows in San Antonio. If it's raining and it's cold, people tend to stay indoors. However, if you're coming from the northeast or from the north where it's, where, you know, 30 degrees is a light jacket.
It's a shirt sleeve weather, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. So actually, that might be to your advantage if you want to visit San Antonio during December or January when it's cold. You might have the Riverwalk all to yourself, or at least just people from the northeast or from the north or northwest.
Well, and I was noticing when you were talking about cold, so I'm looking at a guide here for the forecast for the year for San Antonio, and the average low in the coldest month, January, is 38. So I think for a lot of people, that's going to look awfully attractive. And the high on that day is probably going to be about 62. So
yeah, I'd imagine. Yeah, something like that. And it's not unusual for there to be extremes in temperature from, you know, a couple of days to the next. Mm-hmm. Actually, this past Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, it was about 80 degrees. And then a week after, it was down in the 40s probably. So yeah, I mean, if you're going to visit, you might want to bring a light jacket if you have to, but yeah, unless you're from the south, you know, you're not really going to get cold here.
And we talk about San Antonio. The things that I knew about before you and I talked, I knew about the Riverwalk, I knew about the Mission, Alamo, I knew about fajitas. What's going to really surprise me, though, about the whole city?
I think going back to the general level of friendliness you find in the city, you go to a restaurant, you know, it's a little hole in the wall. You might see lawyers there. You might see doctors there or high income type people there. You're also going to see, you know, some of the working class there, and everybody's going to be talking and having fun and generally being nice to each other. And that's really what San Antonio is. I've rarely seen a case where people are just mean to each other. Usually people are very nice here. And I think that's one important thing about it.
Okay. We talked about a couple restaurants. Any places you would recommend to stay or any neighborhoods you would recommend to stay?
I think you're going to want to stay downtown. Most of the stuff that there is to do in San Antonio is downtown or really close to the downtown area. So you're definitely going to want to stay in the downtown area. And there's some new hotels that have been built. There's some new hotels that have been renovated recently. And actually, there's, I think, just about anything for any budget, because there's the big hotels, there's the little, the motel type places that are right on the edge of downtown, but still downtown. For the most part, you're going to want to stay downtown.
Okay. Where have you gone in San Antonio that you don't see tourists, but you should?
I think really that Broadway area that I told you about. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're going to see some people at the museums, tourists at the museums a bit, and maybe at the zoo, but at the Breckenridge Park, I don't think I've seen a lot of tourists there. At the shops that are on Broadway, you don't see a lot of tourists. As far as I can tell, they're locals. And I think that's one place. And also the little restaurants that you shouldn't miss, but most people do because they're not talked about in the guidebooks. There's restaurants everywhere, and they're excellent Tex-Mex type restaurants. And, you know, you just don't see tourists there because they might be in working class areas of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, they might be in residential areas, and there's just that little restaurant on the corner. And definitely you won't see tourists there.
And what's your favorite little restaurant on the corner that looks like nothing on the outside, but the food's great on the inside?
There's a restaurant called Men's Fine Foods. It's run by a Tex-Mex family, and it's, you know, Tex-Mex food, breakfast, tacos, lunch plates, and it's cheap. It's actually across the street from a friend of mine's house. It's in the working class area, and it's good. There's actually a little community college down the street which has a culinary school at it, and there's professors from the culinary school that I've seen eating at this restaurant. So I think it's that one. It's really good. When I want to go have a couple breakfast tacos in the morning, I go there. And you know it's a small place because they don't have AC. They have their fans running, a little window unit here and there. But, you know, it's really that place that I like.
Okay. Your best money-saving tip for San Antonio?
Well, to begin with, San Antonio isn't very expensive, I think. I've been to other cities in the United States. And you go to the small restaurants. If you have a car, because you're definitely going to want to probably rent a car, definitely go to the small restaurants. You know, you'll spend $5 for breakfast, $6, $7 for lunch, and you'll get food better than you'll get downtown at any of the chain restaurants or at any of the other high-priced restaurants. And, oh, here's a good one. If you don't want to rent a car but you want to stay downtown, there was recently introduced a bike program where there's racks of bikes all over downtown. You can rent them by the hour, by the day. You ride them around, ride them to your favorite destination. I'm not sure exactly how much they cost, but I know they're not that expensive to rent for the day. And, you know, you can get around downtown San Antonio, which isn't very big to begin with, but you're not going to want to walk everywhere, and save a few bucks on a car, rental, car parking, and things like that.
Excellent. You say you've been to other U.S. cities. You come back. What's one thing that makes you laugh and know you're back in San Antonio?
When you're coming back through the hill country and you see the open flat land of San Antonio, and you're glad that you're not no longer in the mountains, and you know, you're where everything's flat and for the most part, and you drive up to your favorite restaurant, you get some food for you and your wife or your girlfriend or your family, and it's $5 each to eat, and you go home and you rest. But yeah, it's coming back from those places with the mountains, and you go back to the flat land, you know. It's a relief for me, to tell you the truth.
I was a little concerned there where you're getting food for both your wife and your girlfriend. But as we go to wrap this up, is there anything else that you would want people to know before they go to San Antonio?
You know, you're not going to see mountains. You're not going to see an ocean. You're not going to see a beach. You're going to come and you're going to see the historic places. You're going to have fun. You're going to meet nice people. But yeah, geographically, I don't want to get hate mail for this, but I don't think, you know, San Antonio is in a very geographically stunning place. We're, you know, a flat kind of desert-like environment. So you're not going to see big trees. You're not going to see mountains, stuff like that. But you are going to have fun and you're going to meet nice people, like I said, and I hope that you enjoy it.
If we're in San Antonio, any place that we should get to, say, within an hour's drive of San Antonio that a lot of people miss?
I think you're going to want to see the Texas Hill Country.
Okay.
For those not familiar with the Hill Country, is basically what it is. They're rolling hills, you know, northwest and north of San Antonio all the way to Austin. I actually took a drive out last week to one of the state parks. I took a 3-mile hike, and it took me the better part of a day. But, you know, the drives are fun, you know, going down little farm roads that are curving and going up and down little hills. And I think that's definitely something that a lot of people miss or they don't do when they're in San Antonio. They stay in San Antonio, they visit the amusement parks or the Riverwalk, but they don't go outside and they don't take the little nice drives. And there's a bunch of nice little towns and cities north of here that are very historic, and they actually cater to tourists.
And your favorite historic town, state park, or drive?
Actually, the one I like the best is Lost Maples State Park, or State Wilderness Area, I think is what it's called. Basically, it's like a microclimate where there's actually maple trees in Texas. And so you go out and you go see the red leaves and the bright yellow leaves and orange leaves. You hardly see that, you know, in Texas, because Texas is not really known for maple trees. It's just like a little microclimate. And there's a few miles of trails, and it's about an hour and a half northwest of San Antonio, but it's a very nice place.
Excellent. Last two questions. You really know you're in San Antonio when what?
All right. Going back to the food. You're in a small restaurant. There might be lawyers there. There might be doctors there. There's people from the culinary school eating there. It's a small place, and you're just surrounded by all different types of people of all walks of life. They're eating the same thing. If it's Sunday or Saturday, they're eating a menudo, which is a Mexican-type stew.
I'm usually not eating the menudo because I know what's in menudo.
Yeah, actually, it's the truth. I don't eat it either. But my wife loves it. I prefer the pozole.
Now, that I don't know. Menudo is, for those people who don't know, is tripe, stew, or soup.
Yes, exactly.
And you're eating what?
Pozole. It's very similar, except instead of using the tripe, it uses, they call it carne deshebrada in Spanish. I forget what it's called in English. It's kind of like just pulled meat, the stringy parts of the meat. It's made in beef or with chicken, and that's usually what I eat. I also don't like the tripe, even though I should.
So it sounds like shredded beef.
Yeah, exactly. Shredded beef or shredded chicken. I can't believe I couldn't think of that. So yeah, and everybody's eating it. If it's a Sunday morning, people are there of all walks of life eating, reading the paper, and generally enjoying the place.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize San Antonio with three words, what three words would you use?
Historic, colorful, and friendly.
And the colorful, where are we going to see the colorful?
I think in the culture, in the people. Definitely if you visit during the fiesta time or even during Christmas, because Christmas is another nice part of the year. The lights on the Riverwalk, we didn't talk about this, but every Thanksgiving they light up the trees on the Riverwalk and they have them lit through New Year. So just generally the downtown area during the festive parts of the year, I think those are very colorful times.
Excellent. Excellent. Carlos, thanks so much for coming on to the Amateur Traveler and telling us more about your hometown.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Chris. I enjoyed it.
In news from the community, I heard from Jeff from Quebec, who said, my girlfriend and I just found your podcast and we love it. We are planning a round-the-world trip and your podcast is a very good source of information for us. Maybe a little suggestion. Is it possible to make an episode that could provide useful tips about the planning of a round-the-world trip or taking a year off to travel the world? You get the spirit. Thanks so much for the podcast and long live the amateur traveler. I replied to Jeff, but I thought it was a good question. Generally, what I'm trying to do with the podcast is focus on destinations and finding that as my niche within podcasting. And so I don't do as many shows, for instance, on round the world travel. I get pitched a lot of things about round the world travel, but have decided not to. Although there is a section on the blog that includes some shows that we've done about round the world travel, as well as some articles about round the world travel. travel. The other thing I recommended is Craig and Linda Martin's Indie Travel Podcast, because they tend to do a little more about the how, while we tend to focus a little more on the where. And I should say that if you do want to see the content that we do have on the Amateur Traveler about round the world travel, just go to the top page and look for the link for Round the World. With that, we're going to bring this episode of the Amateur Traveler to a close. If you have any questions, feel free to leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com or drop me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @Chris2X. And as always, thanks so much for listening.